The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Time is 7:46. Rolene Mark standing in for Anthony Reich. Rolene, a very good morning. Shavua Tov. How are you?
Shavua Tov. I hope it is a better Shavua than our weekend has been.
Yeah, so it hasn't been an easy weekend in Israel. Lots to recap on. You've had the violence on the border, Hamas reprisals, 2 killed, drone attacks, IDF responses. It's almost impossible for us, certainly sitting here, to try and understand this. What can you break the weekend down for us, please?
Okay, so let's start with Friday afternoon. And since March last year, we have had riots on the border between Israel and Gaza. This is taking place every Friday under the guise of the right of return. We know that the calling for the right of return has kind of fallen by the wayside, but these weekly riots are becoming, you know, more and more violent. And on Friday, the riots were particularly violent, and as a result of mutual fire, 2 Palestinians were killed. Now, Hamas vowed reprisals for that, and on Friday night, at least 5 rockets and mortars fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel, 1 rocket falling very, very close to a house in Sderot. Thank goodness there were no casualties and no damage done. Coupled with this, Hamas sent in an armed drone from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel. This was, thank goodness, shot down by the IDF, and in response to the attacks, both rocket attacks and drone attacks, the IDF struck Hamas targets within the Gaza Strip and also took out the cell responsible for firing the drone into Israel. You know, unfortunately, we are now seeing an increase in the use of what we are calling killer drones. We saw it just 2 weeks ago from Lebanon. There's been a lot of tension between Israel and Lebanon, a lot of tension on the border because of the firing of killer drones, Iranian drones, but using Hezbollah operatives. Now we see evidence of Iran using their proxy in the south, Hamas, to try and do the same. Also, last night, another rocket fired at southern Israel, setting off sirens in the Eshkol region, but thank goodness that nobody was hurt, the rocket landing inside the strip. And Egypt at the moment have sent a delegation to try and mediate, to try and calm down the escalating tensions. And this comes just as within the last hour, Howard, that we got news that one of the sites in Iran that has been inspected by IAEA officials is one of the sites that Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke about, you know, when he exposed the findings of the Mossad at the UN General Assembly last year. And this particular site, which the Iranians were keeping the inspectors out of, has been found to contain uranium. So we are seeing an escalation in tensions. We've seen it not just with Iran and Israel, but with Iran, the United Kingdom, the United States, but also now the use of proxies as well.
It seems to me that this is becoming a much more overt war between Israel and Hezbollah, whereas these things have been happening fairly quietly in the past. There's no doubt in my mind that we're starting to see an escalation. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that, and I think that is that'll be the assessment of anybody who is sitting in the upper echelons of our defense establishment, that we are seeing an escalation. You know, that the Iranians will fight on several fronts. We've seen the covert with the attempts to hack, some of it being successful. We've seen their use of their proxies. This is just increasing, very much increasing the use of Lebanon in the north, and I think trying to provoke a war with Israel on 2 fronts to cause a distraction and hopefully not for any kind of major attack. And of course, over the last year, we've seen increased encroachment from the Iranians into Syria, using Syria as their kind of launching pad for attacks into Israel, which brings the next big news headline, is that the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights this morning saying that warplanes, unidentified warplanes, and the IDF have not commented on this, they have believed to have carried out airstrikes against Iranian-backed militias on the border between Iran and Syria. Now, I know that many will say that must be Israeli Air Force. We've seen this tactic from Israel before, where we've got news of convoys or news of militia, and we've preempted any kind of strike. But on this occasion, the Syrians saying that the warplanes are in fact unidentified.
The use of this drone, this armed drone, that also to me would seem to represent a little bit of a shift as this came inside Israeli airspace.
Well, absolutely. We've also had this just this morning, another drone, this time used by Israel, into Lebanon, and Hezbollah claiming that they've shot it down. Now, normally, when Israel sends drones, and this is just within the last hour, when Israel sends drones, it's normally as a warning or it's for information purposes, not for attack purposes. But we've seen a very different kind of strategy from the Iranians with the use of killer drones.
So, yeah, this is a very, very frightening indeed, because it just seems to be becoming more and more overt. The other thing, of course, that sadly is becoming more and more overt is anti-Semitism around the world. There are reports rolling that an Israeli student was beaten by Qataris in Warsaw.
I mean, this story is just horrendous. You know, if anybody is on social media, this is a story that is doing the rounds. Horrendous pictures of Israeli Yotam Kashbitsky, who was beaten by a group of some say Arabs, but apparently it was in fact specifically Qataris. So basically what the story is that Yotam, his brother Barak, and a group of Israelis who are studying in Warsaw were out. It was the weekend, and they were accosted by a group of Arab men who asked them, you know, are they Israelis? And one of the group said, you know, yes, we are. And they proceeded to beat Yotam. They say also with a the thing, the knuckle duster. That's what it's called. Lost my train of thought. They need another cup of coffee. But beat him with a knuckle duster, causing such damage to his face. They broke his ocular bone. That's the eye socket. Terrible, terrible pictures of Yotam, who was beaten by them. Nobody did a thing. This is what is also just so frightening, is that this wasn't in an isolated area. This was in an area where there were a lot of people. People stood around, Howard. Nobody did a thing. They allowed Barak, in his missive, it is in Hebrew, on social media, said, you know, the Poles just stood around because it was somebody, you know, or people not of their kind beating up these Jews. And the group of assailants used some language that, of course, you know, cannot use on radio, but basically, if Israel free Gaza, Yotam, apparently, who was attacked, was actually in a taxi, and he ran towards the group, and that's when they beat him up, and they actually beat him unconscious.
Terrible. Really, really frightening. And finally, Labour UK's John Mann quits party and becomes a government official to deal with anti-Semitism. This is fascinating. Tell us about this.
This is fascinating. Can we just give it up for John Mann, everybody? So the story, I mean, we've been speaking about it at quite length, the Labour Party in the UK, how anti-Semitism has now taken on this horrible new guise as politicized anti-Semitism. And it's sadly, it's not just restricted to the United Kingdom. We're seeing it in the US as well, seeing it in South Africa as well, and other countries, but specifically the Labour Party in the UK has faced a lot of criticism for the increase in anti-Semitism. So John Mann is a Labour MP. He's always been a friend of the Jewish people, a friend of Israel. He served as a Labour MP for 15 years, and he resigned. He said that it's because he says Corbyn has not just hijacked my political party, he has hijacked its soul and its ethics, and I will never forgive him for that. He says, and I can't be a campaigner for the Labour Party anymore. I can't do that in good conscience. He said, I can't do that at this time, and I'm not prepared to lie to my voters. Neither am I prepared to tell them that Corbyn is appropriate to be Prime Minister, because I don't think he is. He also says, you know, it's impossible to overstate the anger that he has towards Jeremy Corbyn. And if you're a fan of Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, I mean, I'm a huge Sharon Osbourne fan. She also laid into Jeremy Corbyn last week. She used language about him that I cannot use on family-friendly radio, and also threatened to, you know, maybe smack him around a little bit. However, John Mann didn't do that. But what he did say is, he said, and this is where people really, really need to pay attention. He said, the Jewish community is the canary in the cage for the health of everybody else and society. Mm-hmm. That has been the case throughout history, and I have no fear in challenging anti-Semitism wherever it needs challenging, and will introduce effective systems to do that. So what does he plan to do? He has now joined the Conservative government, and he will be their minister, or their point man. Some people call it an anti-Semitism czar, but isn't that kind of like an irony, Howard, to call somebody the czar on anti-Semitism?
It's unbelievable. They couldn't come up with a better name.
I know. I mean they
call it the anti-Semitism golem, maybe. But the czar.
Bizarre. I mean, I've never understood that. I mean, they say we Jews don't understand irony, but clearly
we do. Yeah, the Brits do say that about us. But, I mean, this obviously reflects a very, very deep, a very deep and concerning issue within the, I don't think just within the Labour Party. I think this is problematic, because if this is actually allowed and tolerated within British Parliament and within British, within this government system, then we have a major problem.
Well, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's not just restricted to Britain. We only have to look to the United States and see how Israel and now the greater American Jewish community is becoming the political football there. And as we head to next year's campaign, I'm very, very concerned that we're going to see that escalate at the expense of domestic issues in the United States. And throughout the I would say probably the last, I'd say nearly 20 years, we've seen it in South Africa as well. We've seen it since the conference against racism that took place in Durban. We've seen a remarkable change in how Jews are considered within South African society. But thank goodness we have a community that's not scared of standing up for itself, but I really, really fear for other communities around the world.
Absolutely, absolutely frightening. Time is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. Rolene Marks, an absolute pleasure talking to you.